This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and there's of course great debate, as there always is in this very partisan, very hyper polarized country, about what the recent trip by the President of the United States means, the trip to Europe to speak to our NATO allies, to the leaders of the G7, the leading economic powers in the world, and then of course the much hyped meeting with Vladimir Putin, the president, it appears, the president for life in Russia. Did this improve the world at all? How did it compare to other fateful meetings with American presidents? Paul Kangor knows a great deal about this. Paul Kangor knows a great deal about almost everything. He is a historian, a political scientist, and a professor at Grove City College in beautiful Grove City, Pennsylvania. And he is also the chair and leader of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. And I should explain, Paul, first of all, great to speak to you. And,
yeah, same here. Thanks.
I wanted to explain to people that I've been mentioning the last couple of days. I've been broadcasting here from the Road to the Majority conference from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And it takes a lot of organizations to support faith and freedom, but you have no formal connection with the Road to Majority, do you?
No, we don't. Other than that, I guess this wouldn't be formal, but, you know, like Ronald Reagan said, right, we believe in the twin beacons of faith and freedom that brighten the American skies. So they're singing our tune. They get it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, tomorrow they have the opening session. And the opening session features Senator Ron Johnson to kick it off, and then yours truly, and then Steve Scalise and Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, Mike Pence. Pretty good lineup, don't you think?
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Yeah, yeah. And where, yeah. Is it in Washington? Where are you? Are you in D.C.?
No, we're in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, yeah,
that's how
yeah,
we
where
got
it's
everybody.
Free Orlando,
yeah.
Right? Free Orlando, Florida. Yeah, yeah, that's great. That is really impressive. That's. I wish CPAC was that good.
Wow. No. Can I tell you, I honestly think that the listening this morning, I heard a presentation that was outstanding by the new Attorney General of the state of Florida, Ashley Moody, who was terrific and charismatic and... Again, Ralph Reed, who sets this up every year, does a phenomenal job. And it's one of those things where, together with the Supreme Court decisions today, it can actually give you a lot of hope. Did you read about the 9-0 decision?
It sounds like common sense,
doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, very good common sense. And I got to tell you, I read about it after I read the latest assault on Jack Phillips, right, the baker in Colorado,
right,
who
which was
judge
this
told
week.
Him that, yeah, that he has to bake a cake that supports a transgender statement. And, yeah, you know, the very idea of forcing somebody by trembling hand, right, to make a cake and put something on a cake that they disagree with or violates their conscience. I mean, whatever happened to liberals, right? I mean, I would not, Michael, I wouldn't want to force anybody to do anything against their will just to satisfy me, right? But I read that from Jack Phillips. I thought, oh, no, they won't let this poor guy go. I mean, you got everybody from gay rights supporters to quite literally Satanists going after the guy with requests for cakes. So that 9-0 decision, to read about that after, that was, that felt good. I hope it continues.
It does. And by the way, the Jack Phillips case, which is... the background in it is the same attorney who filed an unsuccessful complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission in 2017, started a new lawsuit in state court over the same custom cake request the attorney made at that time. Their request was for a custom-designed cake that would be pink on the inside and blue on the outside to reflect and celebrate a gender transition.
And they won't let the guy go. I mean, could you imagine that, right? Could you imagine, you know, myself as a Catholic, you as a Jewish person, you know, you or I going up to somebody of a different faith and saying, hey, do this on the Sabbath, or hey, do this on a Sunday, and forcing someone to do that against their will. I mean, you or I would be like, oh, it's okay, buddy. You don't have to do that. If that's what your faith teaches, that's all right. Have a good day. That's, you know, God bless you. I'll go to somebody else. But these people can't live and let live. It's really a ferocious, relentless thing.
It's even worse than that, Paul, and it seems to me, because Jack Phillips and Kristen Wagner, his attorney who does such an outstanding job, made it very clear that he would be glad to provide a cake for this customer who is transgendered. Anything he wants, cake, donuts, anything he wants from the bakery. The one thing he won't do is send a message that is contrary to his beliefs. In other words, if you want a cake that says Happy Juneteenth Holiday, wait. As a historian, I got to ask you about that. Do you have a position on the Juneteenth Independence Day, which apparently we're all going to be celebrating tomorrow?
Yes, apparently so. I mean, I'm not going to be celebrating it. I've got my list of different holidays, and I'm not going to be celebrating that one.
Okay, and that has nothing to do with you're not thinking that the end of slavery is something emphatically worth celebrating.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Just like, but you know, this goes back to this whole Nicole Hannah Jones, New York Times, 1619 project, you know, defining America as they put it, racism and slavery at the very center of what America was about, as if America started in the year 1619, when in fact America really did start in 1776. And Thomas Sowell has stated, you know, the remarkable thing about America isn't that America had slavery, because you've had slavery in every generation on every continent going back, you know, to the dawn of humanity. But the fact that America ended slavery, fought a civil war to do it, and it was the costliest war in all of our history. So this idea right now, and this is connected to critical race theory, to redefine everything in America, you know, based on race, or you know, gender, sexual orientation. This is really not what America is about, and I'm so tired of it.
Okay, I think many Americans are. I have better hopes than you do, maybe, about what is going on with Juneteenth, because I think it can take this mourning, guilt-ridden, isn't this terrible, look at how guilty we are, how suffering we are, and make it into something that really is celebratory, because America's had that instinct, I think, particularly coming out of the pandemic. And what you're celebrating here is not the long history of slavery, it's the long struggle for emancipation. And that was a struggle that involved white people, it involved black people, it involved people literally from all over the world who had an impact on the whole world. And maybe if we honor some of those folks, that might be a way of doing that.
And it was the promise of the Declaration, right? You know, the 1619 Project folks will say, oh, but there is hypocrisy there, July 4th, 1776. All human beings are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet they had slaves, and they didn't end slavery. No, but they felt they couldn't end slavery at that time. And it was Lincoln. Read the Gettysburg Address, folks. I mean, the Gettysburg Address quotes the Declaration of Independence, and it's Lincoln, you know, 67 years later, coming back and saying that, you know, they are now implementing the idea, the promise of the Declaration of 1776.
And we will continue that conversation with the one and only Paul Kangor of the Institute for Faith and Freedom of Hillsdale at Grove City College, coming up on the MedVet Show. We'll be right back. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I wanted to speak further with Paul Kangor because he knows a great deal about the history of summit meetings, particularly involving President Reagan, who actually achieved some great progress in closing down the Cold War with his summits with Mikhail Gorbachev. Paul Kangor is a professor at Grove City College. He is a prolific writer, regular commentator to the American Spectator, and he is the author of a truly wonderful book. I think it's my favorite of all his many books. It is a book that came out in 2017, and it's called A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. We put that up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Paul, do you think we make too big a deal out of the personal chemistry or lack of it that occurs at these summit meetings?
No, it's crucial. And in fact, that really goes back to the very beginning. I mean, you know, FDR and Stalin, everything from, all the way up through Yalta in February 1945, that was the last time that they met, and that's where Stalin really abused and manipulated FDR, and FDR really sold out a lot of Eastern Europe at that one. And at that point, that was February 1945, you look at pictures of FDR, the man looks like a ghost. I mean, he came back and died just 2 months after that. Or JFK, his first summit meeting with Khrushchev in June 1961. And James
Reston.
Yeah. Yeah. And James Scotty Reston of the New York Times, the reporter, asked JFK, he said, hey, how did it go? And JFK said, very candidly, Michael, I mean, you would never hear many politicians speak this way today. He said to Reston, he said, how'd it go? Worst moment of my life. He said, Khrushchev rolled right over me. He thinks I'm weak. He thinks I'm a joke. And it was just a few weeks after that that everything kind of collapsed in Cuba. I mean, it wasn't long after that. Jimmy Carter kissing Brezhnev. At the Geneva summit in 1979, June of 1979, and then invading Afghanistan by Christmas of 1979, the Soviets invading Afghanistan, Christmas of 79. And then you have Reagan and Gorbachev, who the chemistry was great between the two, and yet Reagan at the same time, even as he's using his personal charm and getting along with Gorbachev, knew when to turn the screws on Gorbachev, when not to bend, when not to give in, when to give concessions, when to not give concessions. So a lot of it really does depend in large part on the personality and the styles of the leaders.
And it was very contradictory with President Trump because, of course, all of his opponents accused him of being a basically easily manipulated by Putin. They seemed to get along reasonably well. There did not seem to be a lot of chemistry in a positive sense between President Biden and President Putin. Is that necessarily a bad thing?
Yeah, I think that's right. And remember with Trump, so I'll never forget this, Michael. I wrote an article at the time, and a lot of pro-Trump Republicans and conservatives were very angry with me about it. But I wrote a piece comparing Trump's first meeting with Putin to FDR and Stalin. And I'll never forget when Trump glowed and said, he likes me, right? He likes me. I swear that was the exact same three words that FDR used about Stalin. And I put that in the article, right? Yeah, he likes me, FDR, about Stalin. He likes me, Trump, about Putin. And I thought this is dangerous. And Putin's an old KGB guy. These guys are trained in the art of personal manipulation. They know how to stroke somebody, especially a person like Donald Trump, who can be easily flattered. But at the same time, I'll say this in Trump's defense, Trump's the kind of guy who, once he comes back home, he might brag to the press and everybody about how he got along with Putin and how Putin likes him. But Trump would be the first guy at the White House to say, okay, now still, we need to drill, baby, drill. Right. We need to build that pipeline because we can't let the Ruskies beat us on oil exports. Right. We can't let the Russians have all of Western Europe as their oil market. So he's very good about that. You know, my fear with Biden is that Biden can be stroked, manipulated, kind of like Trump can, too. But then he'll come back to the White House and he'll make all sorts of concessions. He won't drill. Right. He'll deconstruct the pipeline. He'll lay off all those pipeline workers. So I'm much less optimistic about Biden than I was even about Trump in 2017.
What about There are very mixed reviews. I mean, USA Today has a big editorial, Our View, Biden Reclaims American Dignity, Trump Lost. And the normally very pro-Biden New York Times has a headline that says, U.S.-Russia summit ends with no sign of a coming thaw. Biden and Putin agree to work on arms control and cybersecurity issues. Do you share the general sentiment, I think, among conservatives that right now, this moment, China represents an even more grave threat than Russia?
Oh, I do. Yeah. And also, this is one of the most frustrating things for me, Michael, is that you really don't know who you can trust in the media to get this right. And you know, I read the different reports over the last few days, and I just thought to myself, I don't know what to believe. So much of this is the personal interpretation and filter of who's ever writing for the Associated Press, for USA Today, for the New York Times. You know, I'm not there, so I really don't know. With Reagan and Gorbachev, to really know what happened there, I had to spend several summers at the Reagan Library reading through declassified memcons, they were called, memoranda of conversations between Reagan and Gorbachev at Geneva, 1985, Reykjavik, 1986, Moscow, 1987, New York, 1988, end of 1987, the Washington Summit, when they signed the INF Treaty. And so much of this now, we're relying on people in the media, a media that's just so terribly, horribly biased that you just don't even know what to believe. And that USA Today editorial, Biden restored dignity. In your eyes, he did. If that's how you like Biden and detest Trump, but you know, I can't trust the editors of USA Today any more than I could throw them out my back window.
Well, it's throughout the media, frankly. It's not just one side. I was watching with great amusement last night an attempt on Fox to contrast Biden's position of his legs as he was sitting with Putin. He had his legs crossed, whereas they went to a photograph of President Trump, and he was man-spreading. He had his knees apart and his legs open, and which said showed his mastery of Putin. Which, I don't know, I think sometimes we read too much into stuff, but we never read enough of Paul Kangor. You can find information about his book, A Pope and a President and More, at michaelmedved.com, and help support the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. Great institution. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court rejected a challenge to Obamacare, the third time it has preserved the 2010 health care law. Reacting to that news on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer.
The United States Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, upheld the Affordable Care Act in the face of another legal challenge. So let me say definitively, the Affordable Care Act has won. The Supreme Court has just ruled the ACA is here to stay. And now we're going to try to make it bigger and better. establish once and for all affordable health care as a basic right of every American citizen.
The nation's unemployment line grew longer last week for the first time in more than a month. The Labor Department reporting 412,000 Americans filed initial claims for jobless benefits. USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Michael Medved show. One of the things that I think is stunning, and I find this having political conversations as part of this Faith and Freedom Coalition gathering that I'm participating in Florida. I should say also the featured speaker, the climactic speaker at the banquet, is going to be Governor Ron DeSantis. And anybody who doesn't think there is a lot of grassroots support for him to run for president is not paying attention. The only really negative word I heard was from some longtime Floridian here in Orlando who said, no, we can't lose him in Florida. We need him here. And which goes to the conservative idea that, yes, sometimes state and local government can matter just as much, sometimes even more, as a president of the United States. But folks have not heard yet about Jay Inslee running for president, and then people saying, oh, we can't afford to lose him in Washington State. I mean... I don't know. It's speaking of candidates for president on the Democratic side, remember when Andrew Yang was sort of cruising ahead in this New York mayoralty race? And the election for mayor is coming up next week. It's finally coming up, the primary. And no, they're not paying any attention at all to the Republican primary, but there will be a clear 50% winner in the Republican primary because there are only two candidates. But there's so many candidates for the Democratic nomination, and some of it's actually very alarming to watch it because there's one candidate who's one of the more moderate Democrats running whose name is Ray McGuire, who is a black guy who worked his way up, and he's a multimillionaire, and he's an investor, And he seems to have some sound communication skills and some sound thinking. And he was saying last night in the middle of the debate, and this was their last debate before the election, he was saying, well, when I speak to, and he didn't say when I speak for, he says, when I speak to the black and brown communities, one of his opponents, whose name is Diane Morales, who is really a pathetic piece of work, sorry, she just is. I mean, her big claim to fame running for office is that she's a single mother who lives together with her two kids and her parents, and she wants to be mayor of the city, and a bunch of her campaign workers went on strike because they said, these are campaign workers, people she's paying to work for her campaign. And she apparently was maltreating them, at least according to their allegations. In any event, she shouts at McGuire, you can't speak for the brown and black communities. How dare you? How dare? And he was trying to finish, and she just wouldn't allow him to finish. And in the midst of that, there was Andrew Yang, who came up with maybe the most tried and true Democratic pitch for votes ever. Will it work? This is clip six. Listen.
Priority number one is to try and get our economy revved up again, get some of the 66 million tourists back who supported 300,000 of the 500,000 missing jobs, many of which would be filled by undocumented immigrants. But we need to do more. I proposed $1 billion in cash relief to everyone in extreme poverty, which would overlap very heavily with the undocumented community. I proposed a people's bank that would channel hundreds of millions of dollars into minority and black and brown owned businesses in many of these communities directly, because the corporate giants are not going to be investing in that way. And we need to get them connected to basic financial services, because right now they're getting exploited by check cashing fees, money lending fees, remittance fees. We can get them bank accounts. And IDNYC, a lot of them don't trust it. A lot of them are like, oh, if I show up, I'm going to run into issues. If we get them basic financial services, we can keep more of their money in their pockets. It should not be so expensive to be poor.
Thank you, Mr. Yang.
Okay, he went on to say, my plan to give $1 billion to 500,000 New Yorkers a year is for everyone. Wait, it sounds like he wants to give $1 billion to each to 500,000 New Yorkers. I think he means he wants to give $1 billion to 500,000 New Yorkers combined, which comes to a couple of thousand. But every year for everyone, regardless of immigration status or life experience. This is, I think, been sinking his campaign. And it was the kind of thing that was sort of amusing and interesting in a presidential campaign. But when you're talking about the city of New York, where there really is no Republican counterweight to complete insanity, this idea of just giving away money and money and money and money is, at least Yang, the Yang gang seems to assume that that is going to be viable and is going to be effective. But it seems unlikely to me. And right now, Catherine Garcia, who is a former sanitation commissioner, and Eric Adams, who's a borough president of Brooklyn, who is also, who is black, who was a captain in the police department, Adams in particular is running hard on the issue of law and order and getting behind the police and tough on crime. Yang had been trying that, but his nature just doesn't appear to be tough, especially when he's talking about giving away so much money. There's also continued Democratic craziness about the fear of the Republican Party taking away your voting rights. And there is now a new ad with Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry, who are apparently a couple. They now are featured in an ad about voting rights. The ad takes place in the dystopian future. It's supposed to be 2055 in America. And Perry and Bloom, who look derelict in the future, now find a way to contact voters in America back in 2021 and warn them about the hellish outcome
if Republicans continue to pass bills on voting integrity. Listen. Democracy while you can. Save acting while you can. I mean, honest to goodness, is this going to influence anybody? Do you really believe that, I don't know, the idea that they might reduce the number of drop boxes for mail-in ballots in a given congressional district? Or that, basically, I saw another ad like this on this trip where it was the dark money. You have to stop dark money in politics before they take away our voting rights. I mean, can we stipulate something here? This was the highest voting turnout election in modern history. And by far, you have to go back to 2008 to get to any election that had a comparably strong turnout. And it's amazing, and it's a lot of credit for lots of parties. So why did 14 Republicans, we'll tell you who they are, vote against the idea of tomorrow's holiday? We'll get to the Juneteenth Independence Day debate coming up on the MedVet Show. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved show, the President of the United States just signed the bill establishing the federal holiday Juneteenth Independence Day for tomorrow. As everybody knows by now, Juneteenth, the 19th of June, is the day not that something truly meaningful happened to change anything. It was a day that the last substantial group of slaves who had not yet heard about liberation heard about it because of a Union general who had arrived in the state of Texas some 2 months after the end of the Civil War, which had basically settled the issue of slavery. And after the Emancipation Proclamation in January of 1863 and more, the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution in December of 1864. And I had mentioned before that I thought if it's a fine idea if what we honor here is not suffering and victimhood, but achievement. That a long struggle against slavery, in which a number of people gave their lives, and not just in the Civil War, but long before the Civil War, there was an abolitionist publisher named Elijah Lovejoy who was lynched because he was writing against slavery. And there's going to be a terrific, just sensationally good column in the Wall Street Journal coming up in the weekend edition about an abolitionist from Kentucky who risked everything. His name was Cassius Clay. And yes, the grandfather and father of the most famous Cassius Clay, who later became known as Muhammad Ali, was named in his honor. He was a remarkable guy who fought off death attempts numerous times and refused to compromise on his opposition to slavery. And that was not a popular position in Kentucky, which was a slave state. Here is what President Biden said about a half hour ago in talking about the new holiday we'll be celebrating tomorrow. Listen.
This is a day of profound, in my view, profound weight and profound power. A day in which we remember the moral stain, the terrible toll that slavery took on the country and continues to take, what I've long called America's original sin. At the same time, I also remember the extraordinary capacity to heal and to hope and to emerge from those painful moments and a bitter, bitter version of ourselves, but to make a better version of ourselves. And today, we consecrate Juneteenth for what it ought to be, what it must be, a national holiday. As the Vice President noted, a holiday that will join the others of our national celebrations, our independence, our laborers who built this nation, our servicemen and women who served and died in its defense. And the first new national holiday since the creation of Martin Luther King Holiday nearly four decades ago.
Okay, there's the President of the United States. I was interested, of course, about why it was that 14 Republicans, including not just what people have called the Cavemen Caucus, but some of the more thoughtful members of the Congress, they're all Republicans. People like Tom McClintock, Chip Roy of Texas, they voted no. And why did they vote no? I'll give you an example. And Thomas Massie, the libertarian-leaning member of Congress from Kentucky, said, "I fully support creating a day to celebrate the abolition of slavery, a dark portion of our nation's history." Massie said that on the House floor before they voted yesterday. However, naming this day National Independence Day will create confusion and push Americans to pick one of these two days as their Independence Day based on their racial identity. He added, "Why can't we name this Emancipation Day and come together as Americans and celebrate that day together as Americans, black and white, all colors, all races, all ethnicities, and then come together on Independence Day, which celebrates the creation of our country, throwing off an oppressive government?" And then Representative Brenda Lawrence, who is a Democrat from Michigan, reacted to that argument on the floor, saying, "I want to say to my white colleagues on the other side, getting your independence from being enslaved in a country is different from a country getting independence to rule themselves." Okay, since it is different, why use the same term? And it is worrisome to think that there would be people who would say, "Okay, I'm not going to celebrate July 4th, Independence Day, because my Independence Day is June 19th. And I know a lot of this goes back to a very, very moving sermon that was written by Frederick Douglass called "What is the 4th of July to a Slave?" And I understand that, but do we gain as a nation by separating white people and black people more based upon the history of slavery? The other thing is, I am very much less enthusiastic than I once was, or even accepting of the idea of constantly saying that slavery is America's original sin, because even though it was part of our country from its very beginnings, at least part of some parts of our country from its very beginnings, not everywhere, we didn't originate it. And when you say original sin, it makes it, oh, America came up with something original, and we're going to put people in chains, and we're going to beat them, and we're going to exploit them, and we're going to treat them like property. That had been the norm in human history for literally thousands of years. Chip Roy, who is the congressman from Texas, argued that the legislation should have gone through a House committee and that there should have been a larger debate over the naming of the holiday. "I believe it's been often referred to in our history as Jubilee Day, as Emancipation Day, as Freedom Day. I would be amenable to any of those names," Roy said on the floor yesterday. "I don't believe that the title National Independence Day works, and I would prefer that we just have a debate on that." And those, it seems to me, are not unreasonable reservations. Once the holiday is established, which it now is, it's been signed into law by the president, and it's going to be convened and observed for the first time as a federal holiday tomorrow, I can only hope that we can clarify what Juneteenth is and clarify a focus not on slavery, but liberation and the idea of a long fight for liberation. And one of the things about American liberation and about American liberty is it includes a big emphasis on religious liberty. There was a major, major Supreme Court case today. Some conservatives have criticized John Roberts for putting together a majority and a unanimous majority in the court to defend religious liberty, to defend the opportunity of Catholic social services in Philadelphia to limit, according to their religious teachings, who they serve as clients in a foster care placement. Now, this is different from saying I'm not going to serve somebody when you go into when you're opening up a restaurant. That doesn't do. It's a very different principle, and that is made very much clear in this unanimous decision. And what about the decision on Obamacare? The decision on Obamacare also shows, as does the unanimous decision on religious liberty, the completely fallacious nature and dishonest nature of the Democratic argument for court packing. Because, I mean, how ridiculous is this, that they distrust the leanings of the court? Who voted for defending Obamacare? Amy Coney Barrett, despite the fact that Democrats, and we'll play some of it for you, had warned that she would vote to undermine Obamacare. She didn't. And by the way, the fact that we're not going to have to go through a huge struggle and finding new health insurance and redefining health insurance on the fly in the midst of a political season, that's probably a relief. But there's something else. When you have a decision, the most important decision of the day, that is 9-0, you have to do an awful lot of packing to take that away. In fact, if you appointed 5 new Democratic justices, you know what? Then it might have been 14-0. Some issues are clear, thank God, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You could try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected. Especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.